Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Hear the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 31. When he was gone, that is Judas, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Would you join me in praying? Father, as we look at your word on this night where we consider the last words of Jesus, the last night that he would be alive before going to the cross, help us to hear afresh what you have for us, to be encouraged and challenged, to be uplifted and changed to be more like Christ. This we ask in his holy name. Amen. I don't travel that often, but the occasions that I do, one of the last things that I will do before I take off is I will talk to my kids, especially my boys. And it may not be for the reason you would think. You see, my responsibility within our household is to be the Uber driver for all the children to and from wherever they go, to be the referee when they decide they want to fight one another or school or dogs or whatever. And I do those things because my wife has a full-time job. So when I then leave and I'm going to be gone and not present, I look at my children, especially my boys, and say, "I need you guys to be good. Can you please help your mom? She's going to need some help. Like, do the things that are good while I'm gone." Jesus is going. And he's got last words. And the reason those are some of the last things I say is because I don't want my wife's life to become absolutely nuts. And because I know they can do more, and I try to emphasize that before I'm gone and I can't anymore. We're on that night. In fact, in this passage, he's going to say to them, "I'm leaving." And we really want to pay attention to the words he says at that moment. You want to follow along with me? We are in John 13. You can grab one of those black pew Bibles. We are on page 1535. Page 1535, John chapter 13. So we know before even diving in, this is really significant because it is the last night of his life. On the way here, I was talking to my boys, and they were asking a couple of questions about the last night of his life, and I said, imagine you knew you were going to die, maybe the next day, maybe within a few days. How important would the words be Because you can't say anymore. Like, this is it. What would you say to the people around you, the people you love? How important would those words be? We know how important they are because this is his last night. Here's what happens. John 13, verse 31. When he had gone, that is Judas. So Judas has been with them up to this point, and he's just left. And everything is going to change. The tone is going to change. If you keep reading through John, you would see it. Judas is gone now. It's just his own. Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once." I know that is very confusing. In essence, now is the time when I will be crucified and I will be raised. And you will see the glory of God. But after those kind of confusing words, here's what he says. My children. And this is like saying my little children. Like the ones I really care for. I will be with you only a little longer. You're going to look for me just as I told the Jews. So I tell you, where I am going, you cannot come. So this is that moment when I gathered my kids and said, all right, look, I'm going to be gone for a few days. I need you guys to do this. But he's saying to them, I'm going to leave. And ultimately, he's going to leave. And while he will come back briefly, he will then ascend to the Father, and he will no longer be present to them in a physical form where they can wander around with him. It's going to be a different relationship. And so these words right here, these are his words when he's not going to be there anymore. We get an idea of their significance right here. A new command I give you. That is hardcore language. Right? You think of, since our Constitution began, we've had 27 amendments. And every amendment, there's a challenge, there's a fight. But 27. The Ten Commandments, at this point, have been around for more than 1,000 years. Without a change. And here's Jesus saying, a new commandment I give you. Kind of have to sit up and go, whoa. What is that new commandment? Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And I know you've heard this before. I've heard it before. It's very common. I was trying to think of a way to express what this might mean. Like at this moment where he is leaving and he wants to give them something, he says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. It's to love each other like I loved you. And this didn't happen, but I could imagine it happening. So just go with me. I can imagine him looking at James and John and going, so we were going through a village and they didn't believe in me. And you guys looked at me and you said, can we call down fire on them? And I thought to myself, do you even know me? Like, do you get anything I'm doing? But I'm going to keep loving you anyway. I'm not going to go start another denomination because you don't get me. I can imagine those same guys. So there are three times where Jesus was really vulnerable with his own. Where he said to them, look, guys, we're going to go to Jerusalem. And when we get there, I'm going to get betrayed. And then the religious leaders, they're going to kill me. I mean, just imagine what that is like to share that with your closest friends. And the third time he does that, he walks away and James and John walk up to him and they go, hey, when you come in your glory, make us at your right and left hand. And you can imagine Jesus going, do you know how much that hurts? Like that, what I'm trying to share with you and all you guys can do is selfishly think about your own power. And yet, I will keep loving you. I'm not giving up on you, despite your selfishness. Or, I mean, the big one, Peter. Peter who lies to Jesus. And then in the moment where Jesus is on trail for his life, Peter denies him three times publicly. The third time, Jesus looks at him like he knows it's happening. And Jesus says, but Peter, I still loved you to the point that I went and sought you out to restore our relationship. That's the kind of love I gave you. You can imagine him looking at Matthew, and Matthew, the tax collector, being like, you didn't even have to say anything. I'm a tax collector. I used my own people to get wealthy. I was considered a traitor. And yet, you called me to be in your inner circle. Jesus says, that's the kind of love I want you to have for each other. I want you to live that way. And I want you to do it because by that kind of love, everyone will know that you're my disciples. It's the only time he ever says something like that. That's the way. When you are loving each other like you saw me love you, that's how people will know you're my disciples. See, I'm leaving. If they want to see me, they need to see how you are loving each other. It should be your DNA. It should be what every church looks like. I was vacuuming the house today, and our Labrador, she can shed like nobody's business. We have almost actual tumbleweeds of hair in our home. Like if wind could blow, it would be like you're on Texas plains and they were just rolling through the house. And that's a week. Like, I don't know why she's not naked. I mean, she should just be bare, no hair at all. I can't believe how much it is. And every time I think that, I think, you know what? When we bought that dog, why did we not get a Labradoodle? Because what are they for? You have a Labradoodle because they don't shed. They are engineered. They are set. I mean, they were bred in order to not shed. And that is what people think about when you think about a Labradoodle. They don't shed. That is what people should think about when they think about the church. Not that we don't shed. My daughter's back there laughing even before I said it. They love one another in this weird, radical kind of way. And you know what? I want us to pay very close attention to the text. Go back into it. Jesus says, I'm leaving. So let me just tell you, I'm giving you a new command. I want you to love each other like I loved you. And when you do that, that's how people will know you're my disciples. Look at the response that he gets. Verse 36, Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Notice what he didn't say. Whoa, a new commandment? So that's how we show people who you are. Notice that all the way through this passage, he never once even acknowledges that Jesus just laid down the identity of the church. They miss it completely. And we've been doing it for 2,000 years. Just missing it. Here's what they did. What do we think is most important? I don't fault them for wanting to know where Jesus is going. I'd probably be freaked out too. But throughout this passage, what we get is what they think is most important, not what Jesus told them was most important. And we've been doing it for 2,000 years. We have been dividing over our views of baptism. We've been dividing over our views of Eucharist. We've been dividing over our views of what a pastor or a priest, what clergy is, what a bishop is or isn't. What's the role of women? We've got all these things that we are dividing over as the church because we've decided those are more important than loving each other through our differences. We've been dividing over politics like crazy. Republicans and Democrats today, I rarely say anything specific about any political something. I just do the generic. Here's the generic. You would think that they hate one another. The language they use for each other is to attack. And to say, like, that person's not even a Christian. There's no way they could be a Christian. They believe these things. Again, we're deciding what's most important. Instead of Jesus saying, love one another through your differences, we are saying those things rank above the command that Jesus gave to his disciples, the only time he ever said a new command I give you. Could you just imagine for a moment? I know in our church there are different views on so many things. There's different theologies. There's different politics. There are so many different views in our church. Here's what I know. There are people in our church afraid to state their view. Do you know why they're afraid? Because they'll be rejected. At least they believe they will. There are people in our church who I honestly believe would never think of it this way. They're so convinced of what they believe that everybody else is just wrong. I don't care what we believe. Could you imagine this happening? Just imagine with me for a moment. If our entire church, except for Jim, were a Democrat, Jim's the only Republican, most churches he'd be run out if he didn't leave on his own because everybody treated him so poorly. Or just imagine Bill were the only Republican and everybody else was a Democrat. Same thing. What would a church look like if all of our different views, no matter what they are, politics, religion, social issues, didn't matter, we stated them? Maybe I don't like what you believe, you don't like what I believe, and yet we kept loving each other because that was more important. That's what Jesus was about. Why? I think it comes down to the moment that he's giving the commandment. Do you know why I tell my boys what I tell them before I leave? Because in essence, I need them to be me while I'm gone. I'm not there. They need to police themselves. They need to act in the ways I would tell them to act if I were there, because I'm not there to tell them. Jesus says, I'm not there, not physically. I need you to show people a love that they cannot understand unless they come to me, because it's the kind of love I gave you. And it goes beyond all the differences. That's what he did on his last night. What are we going to do with it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to love each other better, to think about all the ways that Jesus loved his disciples, the times that they angered him, they rejected him, they didn't get him, they were selfish, all of these things, and yet he didn't give up. He didn't go start something new. He stayed with them to restore them. Help us to be those kind of people, not to pretend we aren't different, but to want to fulfill that commandment more than we want to be right. That we might be an expression of love that people outside our church would be interested in, because it honors you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.